You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
April the 2nd, no joke. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning Five and Change. Got a great show for you today with Bill Kerlick and Mark Porter. Very, very heavy on recruiting. As you can tell by the title of today's show, it's recruiting gone wild. Since we last met, there have been four commitments. And by last met, I mean the dynamic duo you got coming up. But first, Factor meals. We've talked about this before. If you are on the go, if you like to eat quickly, and you are willing to microwave your food and go against what I am as a food snob and thought that didn't work, it works. Factor meals are stress-free spring, your choice of food with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, dietitian approved, ready to eat in 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options. Calorie smart, keto, protein plus, vegan and veggie. Get chef prepared meals in 2 minutes with Factor's ready to eat meals. You can get back to doing what you love this spring. If you're looking for gourmet meals, they have meals that feature premium ingredients. Filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Tailored to your schedule, Factor is your solution for fast premium meals. Head to factormeals.com/bucknuts50 and use code bucknuts50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code 50 at factormeals.com/bucknuts50. 50% off your first box, 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That is quite the deal and one you should definitely take advantage of. We talked about it before. Factor is a great sponsor. Those of you who watch a lot of podcasts can see they've advertised in a lot of places. All right. Gentlemen, when we last convened, welcome to Bill Kerlick and Mark Porter. When we last convened, we were talking about recruiting. We knew there was a big weekend coming up. We knew there was a linebacker from Florida who was going to make a commitment, etc. Bill, we're going to work in reverse chronological order here because it was such a wild recruiting extravaganza. First up, Tarvis Alford. We talked about him in detail here. Since we met Mark's commitment evaluation was released with his commitment, his verbal commitment. And that the player we are thinking about now is maybe the new and improved Jerome Baker. Very, very impressive football player. I'm not sure we have a guy like this on the roster currently as I was going to look for it, which is something I really enjoyed that we're kind of getting that athletic kind of, I said he reminded me a little bit of Ernie Sims from back in the day. Bill, take this and run with it, and then Mark, the floor is yours after that.
Ernie Sims, you're much too old for me, Dan. Going way back.
Don't kid yourself.
Tarvis Alford is a guy that could play the middle or could be the other linebacker in Ohio State's defense. Whatever, wherever you put him, he's a really good player. You know, we've talked about him for a long time. We've talked about how his recruitment is not over, even though he committed to Ohio State on Sunday, or I should say Saturday evening. He's still going to take those official visits. And the last one is the one in my mind right now to worry about if you're going to worry the most, and that would be Miami as it's set up right now. Of course, he's going to take his official visit to Ohio State before that, and you know, you hope that Ohio State can somehow shut it down for him at that point, but we'll see what happens. Right now, that's his plan, is to take the visits. But he picked Ohio State over a lot of good schools. Florida State was a finalist, and of course, Miami we've talked about. He had a lot of other offers in there as well. Oklahoma, you know, schools across the country. But you got a guy that gets to the ball quick. He's going to get to the ball and look to put a bit of punishment on the ball carrier, and that's what you want in your linebackers. James Laurinaitis, that was his first real get as a the Ohio State full-time linebackers coach, and he certainly is a great one for Laurinaitis to start off with.
Those of you playing at home are getting to see some of the video of Alford. Mark, your thoughts on him now that
Let's go back to the video. I'll talk about it again while it's playing. I kind of restarted it as Bill was talking. You know, he touched on a lot of the points here. I think my job is to talk about, you know, the athletic evaluation. And you're saying he looks like a lighter Jerome Baker, maybe a Darren Lee, the Ernie Sims for the older crowd. But he's a thumper. You saw him blow up the fullback and take out the running back there. With not a lot of weight to him, he puts his butt into it. And then there you see him run into the sidelines. And I said something about I saw a comment about sideline to sideline linebackers. And someone said, I never saw him go sideline to sideline. It's because nobody lines up out of bounds and runs sideline to sideline. They always start in the middle and run from a sideline to a sideline. So you see him take off from here, an edge and go to the sidelines, and you see him run with athletes. I think he's going to get bigger and thicker and fit in there. You see him avoid blocks like that. He doesn't take on blocks a lot on this film. He avoids them with speed and agility and kind of darting in the areas. Even there, he just slid past a lineman who was trying to block him. So there's different ways. Now we see him lined up out here in space, which is probably where he fits best as a will linebacker, where he can use that space, or even out there as a Sam linebacker. But you see him dancing around, and that's pretty good acceleration to the ball there. That's why I say middle linebacker, if he's not the Mike, Will and Sam are an option. And there you go. He's versatile. He can play three different spots. He's in pass coverage, making plays on the ball. So the type of player you're getting there is definitely the more athletic type that you've seen in the past year at Ohio State in the middle. Usually you see the Eli Lees. That's why I think Eli Lees, the Mike, the C-gap, you know, blow up guards, tackles if he has to. And then you see an Alford guy standing next to him who runs around a little more and does a little more agility.
Now, Jerome Baker was a little bit of a polarizing player when he was here, but he has so many gifts. He's still in the league. There are a lot of those guys, and I talked about this the last time we discussed Alford using Baker as the comparison. Baker is still in the league. He's just so gifted, and his athleticism that, you know, he was drafted by the Dolphins and is now going to go to the Seahawks, but long-term dude. All right, Bill, next up, another guy we'd already discussed from IMG Academy. I want to do it like this, and then we'll group the two Jersey kids, and that is London Merritt. Transplanted down to IMG and is kind of just like a werewolf player at this point. I don't think we know if he's going to be stand up outside linebacker or slide inside, but you know, he's playing against tremendous competition at IMG. If a guy goes to IMG, you know, he's invested in his future and is serious. Actually, we'll have Bill talk about his recruitment, kind of who else was in the mix, and then we'll get Mark to handle some video.
Well, as far as the position first, he's right now in London is 6'2 to 6'3, about 250 pounds now. He had been around 230, but he's up to about 250 now, close to it. And Ohio State has recruited him as a kind of a hybrid guy. They recruited him as a defensive end and a jack position guy. I still don't think it'd be out of the question that he could eventually, especially because of his height, grow into a defensive lineman, but that's not what they have him at right now. Larry Johnson has recruited him as a – Larry Johnson showed him packages he has that London Merritt could line up as a defensive end, and he showed him packages that he has that he could go out and play the jack position for Ohio State. So that is what they are looking at him now as, a guy that can play those two positions, a hybrid type guy. As far as his recruitment, the main school that he had really actually been considering the most when he committed to Ohio State is North Carolina. In fact, he had two official visits scheduled, Ohio State and North Carolina. He isn't planning to schedule any other official visits, but he told me just the other day after he committed that he was kind of debating whether or not to take that North Carolina visit still or not. My gut feeling is right now he probably won't take it, but he had not made a final decision on that. But he of course had a lot of other offers, big time offers, schools across the country, but those were the two schools that he actually scheduled official visits to, Ohio State and North Carolina.
Floor is yours, Mark. Those of you playing at home can see Merritt on screen.
I love that we're watching these linebackers back-to-back. Watch the way he blows up that tackle. That's the way a true Mike would run in, like an Eli Lee would run in there. So you see at 250 pounds how a true Mike would run in there and blow up linebackers. But look at the head snap back on this play, the way he uses his hand. It's called heavy hands. When someone's got a heck of a punch, they bench press a lot, they know how to hand shiver you. That's what it looks like. And you see that a few more times in this film. And then as Bill talked about, you can put him down, and there's the pass rush ability. And look at the way he can bend with agility. That quarterback tried to escape, and he mirrored him almost instantly. So you're seeing, like you're saying, packages where I don't know if he stands up for very long. I think he puts his hand in the dirt again. Do you see him shut that guy into the backfield with power? And then, of course, chasing down from behind, you see the aggressiveness and the hustle there. But you can see the power coming out of his stance. And right there, he slips a guy, throws him down. That's really impressive. The strength in this player is noticeably different than the last player we watched. The last player we watched was speed, quickness, agility. This is just raw, brute strength, standing guys up. But defensive end, I can see that in his future if he's 250 pounds. A little bit raw, maybe. Let's see how many pass rush moves he shows us. Here he is maybe down at defensive tackle, fighting off guys. Does a great job with his hands, and you see the violence there. Really, I really like what Larry Johnson has in this player to work with. You see him standing up, and he's showing us a skill set here that's very diverse. We've seen him in a couple different spots. Yeah, I think when linemen hit him, you see him just running into a wall now. I mean, it's like a consistent – like when I start watching guys, maybe you've heard me say the word, this becomes a theme. The more guys he keeps stoning and standing up and throwing down, look at him just, you know.
Yeah, everything's straight.
And 75 looks like a Division I tackle giving him a fight. I like that. I like that clips on there, even though it's not a tackle.
By the way, 75's helmet came off there. Did you notice that?
Yeah. That was a nice little thing to put in there. Impressive looking player, Bill. I'm impressed that when I'm asked to rank him in Ohio versus some of the other defensive ends, like Justin Hill, I know is going to come into the conversation. This is a much thicker, stronger player. But Justin Hill, again, his versatility is Micah Parsons standing up and running around everywhere. You guys, if you want to say something, Bill, go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of Larry, you mentioned Larry Johnson. You know, last couple of years, he's taken some criticism from people. Larry Johnson's got two really outstanding commitments already. Zaire Mathis, who is the number one prospect in the state of Pennsylvania, defensive end, and now London Merritt from IMG. That is a great start on the outside for Larry Johnson.
So when he – go ahead, Mark.
No, that was a nice play at tight end. He ran that kid over at the end. His theme is power. You know, like I can see if I did the write-up, like what jumps off the tape, no problem getting his pad leveled down and putting some power on people.
You know, when he hits you and your head snaps back and then he holds on to you a little bit and shakes you. My coach used to call that getting ragdolled. He just hits you and you, a lot of times when they do that, they let go. There are some guys that will do that and they can hold on to you and they just are moving you. And it's one of the worst feelings on earth. Of course,
I'm guessing you were the ragdoll, not the ragdoll.
I was in the slot.
Ragdoll-y.
I would be the one you would call avoiding contact and getting outside. So there's that. All right, let's go to the Jersey duo, Bill. I think this kind of caught people a little bit off guard, but if you do the research, we were on these guys as well. Take them in order. Let's go first with Desi Jones. I hope I pronounced that correctly. There's an apostrophe in there. Wide receiver, DePaul Catholic, Wayne, New Jersey. I will say that's good football. Big Catholic school football in North Jersey is high quality, usually the Penn State battleground. Your thoughts on the receiver? Obviously, and I talked about this with Dave on Monday, if any coach has earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to recruiting, it is the Brian Hartline. So take it and run with it.
Yeah, the two kids, Desi Jones, and you mentioned, and Deshaun Stewart, the safety from DePaul Catholic. They were kids that absolutely were on the radar screen we talked about. In fact, I had Deshaun Stewart in the top targets category. I had Fahim Delane, for instance, higher, Trey McNutt higher, but Deshaun Stewart was in our top targets on the Bucknut, in the Bucknuts database. Desi Jones was in the next category down. He was in the high choice category, and that's partly because there are so many wide receivers already in the top targets. You don't necessarily think, well, you need 11 or 12 top targets in that wide receiver column. But Desi Jones is a 6 foot, 180 pound wide receiver that I look to be a slot guy at Ohio State. A lot of people felt that Penn State, Michigan State, maybe were the schools that looked like they were at the top of his list. But when Brian Hartline comes calling in Ohio State and you're a wide receiver, it is pretty hard to say no. And Desi Jones did not say no. He's a North Jersey kid, as you mentioned, Dan. Catholic League. The Catholic League he is in is just a little bit below the Catholic League that, of Luke Whipler, for instance. But they play a lot of the same schools division-wise and all that. So he's playing some good competition as well.
Take it and run with it, Mark.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to those first couple of plays.
Again, if you're viewing at home, we have the video going, so I don't want you podcasters to be confused. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, right out of the gate, we're just going to see a deep ball, which is what most kids start their films off. You see a speed. These next two routes right here, this little corner post, I thought he was running a flag route. I'm like, oh, way to snap it off on the flag, and then, wow. Dude. I mean, everyone in the building, including the cameraman, probably bit on that if he wasn't using a drone. And same thing here, a little nod route, you know, inside here. This isn't a route I see in high school. It's like an advanced NFL route where, again, he makes a heck of a catch for his quarterback there. But the route, that's impressive. That's some big-time route running at the high school level. A lot of these high school routes are straight lines. You saw him at the top of his route there shake the guy and get in the open field. So, you know, Bill said maybe he was the next rung down. If this is the next rung down, I'm good with it. You know, like, there's some – pretty severe route running there. And then all we need to do now is maybe check out his speed on a few plays, which I seem to think that checks out. But, yeah, the receiver depth across the country, every year I think you can pull a little farther down and still find big-time speed. You can find size. And then the polish on this kid already, I'm still watching his film. Boy, it's really – there's some impressive route running here. So if I had a theme that I've seen already – advanced route running from a young kid that, you know, isn't common at this age, you know, so he's been coached up or polished up. This is maybe the results of 7-on-7s and all the combines where he's been working one-on-one since he's probably in eighth grade.
Bill, there was a question on here about crowding at the wide receiver position. I'll get to it, but it's basically that they think we're going to get Jaime French. Here we go. The Rod Farber. With landing a wide receiver over the weekend that we just talked about, and then likely getting Jamie French, are we out on DeCorian Moore, the Duncanville wide receiver ranked very highly that's verbally committed to LSU but is taking visits?
No, they are still in on DeCorian Moore. He still has Ohio State in his Final Four, and I think he's going to take official visits. I would be surprised if he doesn't take more than an official visit to LSU. He and his family, mother, really loved their Ohio State visit of a couple weeks ago. It went extremely well. So, no, they're not out. You still got French, certainly, as a possibility as well. I think Ohio State leads for him right now, although that one's not over. But, again, you know, Ohio State, when it comes to wide receiver recruiting, you're talking about an absolutely elite level. And by the way, I've said this before, if you are able to do this podcast watching it, there aren't many podcasts doing what, doing what this one is doing with the video and all that we have on at the same time.
Some have video. They don't have Mark breaking it down. So that gives us the double whammy there. Speaking of elite recruiting, if there was any coach on the staff that's approaching benefit of the doubt status similar to that of Brian Hartline, it might be Tim Walton and the group he's putting together at defensive back. Jones's teammate, Deshaun Stewart, also joined over the weekend. Bill, bring us up to speed, and then Mark will break it all down.
Yeah, he again, we had him in the top targets list. And again, you know, we look at the safeties, and credit Matt Guerrieri a lot too on this. I mean, he's got Ohio State in on some of the very top safeties in the country. And when I say in, I say kids that legitimately could end up at Ohio State, including Fahim Dulane, Trey McNutt, for instance. He's got Deshaun Stewart now, and there are others. Dorian Brew, somebody's going to ask, well, you haven't mentioned him yet. Think of him as a corner first. That's what they're recruiting. He's getting recruited first for, and he seems to kind of like that position. But he's absolutely a great safety prospect. So Matt Guerrieri has got the Buckeyes as realistic contenders from some great players. But they got Deshaun Stewart. Again, he was in our top targets. He is at DePaul Catholic as well. He's about 6'2", 185 pounds, and he doesn't have necessarily the wow offer list, you know, that includes Georgia, Alabama, all of those schools that are at the very top, but his offer list is good. And if you watch his video, which I think we are about to do, you'll be impressed.
Yeah, I've come on here and said that a lot. I do look at the offer list of a guy specifically. I think I said, what was it, about a month ago, that there was a while there, the stretch was, if you had a Georgia offer and an Alabama and an Ohio State offer, I assumed you were just a lottery pick. The kids up north, starting at about Pennsylvania up, the SEC does not go up there as much as they go into other spots. You know what I mean, Bill? Like, you can be a great player up in New York, there aren't as many, and up north, the SEC just doesn't get up there as much. So I can tell you this, Penn State used to own the Eastern Seaboard right there. A lot of reason was Larry doing work, but I wouldn't be thrown off by him not having that offer. And also, we're doing well with the New Jersey defensive backs, Davis and Igbinosin. We had a thing on Jaden Bonsu yesterday and Stewart today. That's a nice little run on tough kids from Jersey. I am biased, given I attended high school there myself. So, Mark, your thoughts on the safety? This was probably the first time you got to look at him, because we hadn't talked about him much. Those of you playing at home can enjoy this.
Before I start this, I'm going to rant for a second. Now, when we do these rankings, or when 24/7 does rankings, anybody does rankings, I think we should, and pay attention here, we should stop saying that those are the best players. What we should think of them as, these are the maybe surest things or the most developed right now. And, you know, you feel the most safe about them today. But as we know, the rankings today, right, is the senior year rankings at high school, the way the NFL is going to draft this whole thing in 4 years, not even close. So that would bring truth to the fact that, yeah, these are just the guys that are leading the race today. And I love Dan's point where, yeah, the South can fill up their tanks down south, and they don't have to dip into the guys in the North, so maybe they don't get ranked the same way up North. And that's just, you know, over the years noticing that. But I think rankings are the most well-done, well-developed prospects today. So when you watch the kid we're about to watch at 6'2", 185, Maybe he's not done cooking yet, but the upside with him is just off the charts because of his size and speed and the range he has. We're going to see him playing some off man-to-man here. I like here, you're going to see him up in press man-to-man, which you don't get to see, not press, but up in his face as much in high school. You see him jamming him there. But you don't see as much of that coverage in high school. A lot of teams are back off in zone. You see him off here in either off man or zone. But his length and the plays he's making with his hand, that's a great play on the ball there. Here's a better clip. Sometimes we don't get the best video of defensive backs. Yeah, you see him right there, that length getting across the body there to make a play. That's body length making that play more so than his feet or hips, getting him in great position. Watching this for the first time, and in addition to this being a new one for me, I've been on the road, you know, with spring break here, so I've been kind of catching up this morning. Yeah, the way he can turn and run, there's a chance to see his burst to the ball on a deep ball. So I think his speed checks out here in a couple clips. And there's the press man-to-man, and that's what you want to see him doing. He looks like he's going to get beat there, but look at the length again to make a play on that ball. I mean, that hand came out of nowhere at the last second to get in there. Now, there's a read and recognition play. And yeah, so if he does that a few more times, I think you're going to see people say safety in a hurry because that's the way a safety would hit. Well, uh-oh.
Well, not to interrupt you. He's been lined up at outside corner this entire video.
Yeah, so – okay, so what we're learning about him on film is, yeah, the corner clips or the coverage ability was first, but the hitting ability is on this tape and the read and react. Boys, you may be looking at a safety down the road, you know?
No, he,
that's, yeah. That's what they recruited him for, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, good. And this is just like you're saying, when you're watching me watching an evaluation raw and you saw the skills and I was nervous, and I even said he got beat a few times, which, okay, he's not going to be playing corner out there. He's going to be doing what he's doing at safety, coming up and hitting people, which, boy, is that a nice quality. And then you picture him at around 200 pounds in college, and, you know, the whole thing starts to come together. You're 6'2", 200-pound safety.
I think it fits the modern safety, too. Like we talk about I see Denzel Ward come up. Look, if he plays like Denzel Ward, we'll take it. Good gracious.
Yeah, Denzel was a speed guy. Yeah.
Speaking of six-bedroom beach houses, good Lord.
Also, Dan, I should go back real quick. I was talking about the safeties, Fahim Delane and that and all. I definitely do not want to leave Cody Haddad out of there.
We'll get to it.
Happened to roll a crystal ball for him yesterday, actually. I love Cody Haddad. I mean, he only played four games, but watch those last four games, his – junior season, and you will be wild. Put him right in there with those other guys as safety targets for Ohio State.
We will get to that, and we're going to go into detail on that. But first, I want to read you our second ad of the day, and it's not really as much an ad as much as a...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kind of a plea for awareness. I know people make jokes about Manscaped, but this is a major company that it's doing some really good work here. Did you know that one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. So the three of us, of course. With April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, our friends at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use promo code BUCKNUTS for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Everybody, if you get to be old like us, tongue out of cheek, you're going to come in contact with someone in your family or close to you that's dealt with cancer. It's not a variable. It's a constant. And this will allow you to kind of get your Manscaped products and, you know, get checked to make sure you are healthy. Like they said, testicular cancer, you have to get the test. The testicular cancer story I always remember was John Kruk at the All-Star game. I don't know if it was actually at the All-Star game, but he got hit by a pitch in the Nards. And when they went and checked, they found out he had testicular cancer. And, you know, got it fixed. So not something you want to let linger. Once again, manscaped.com/TCS to check it out. And Manscaped will be donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. And if you're at it, grab 20% off and free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS. Because like a famous American philosopher once said, take care of your mentals, your balls, and your chickens. I don't know who that would be, but I digress. All right. On the cruton. William, you brought up a very interesting name. Cody Haddad from Powerhouse St. Ignatius High School. Basketball champions this year for the first time in many years. But we are talking about football. I'm getting distracted because people are asking me to check myself for testicular cancer. And I want to chuckle, but I shan't. He was committed to Wisconsin, Bill. You put in a crystal ball for him after interest came from Ohio State and an offer. Bring us up to speed.
Well, he was committed to Wisconsin, and we've talked about him a number of times before. He surprised people. He surprised even some of his own teammates that didn't know he was going to commit to Wisconsin when he did. A little bit unpredictable in that fashion. Again, you know, he was not necessarily expected to commit to Wisconsin, but did. Had a feeling he was going to decommit, and he did, doing so yesterday. And he may still take some other visits. Wouldn't be surprised if that happened. But when he's all done, I like the Buckeyes' chances there. And again, he's not rated very high, all that highly right now. And in part, that's because he was injured. He missed most of his junior season. Hadn't been seen a lot. But if you go and watch those last four games for St. Ignatius, they had a really bit of a difficult year. They finished, I believe, 3-9. I think that's right. That didn't happen often at St. Ignatius. But when they got him back and they were playing against some good teams, they went 2-2. There is a little connection there of why that happened. He was outstanding. He intercepted four passes in four games. If I do my math correctly, hopefully I will, if he intercepts four in four games, that would have translated into 12 in 12 games. He's a guy that I really like a lot. And again, I crystal balled him to Ohio State yesterday.
People are chuckling at the way I said, check yourself. Believe me, I don't have that much with style. That's written on the ad as, in quotes, check yo quote self. So believe me, don't have to wreck yourself. All right. Is this Cody Haddad?
This is Cody. Okay, so, yeah, to echo what Bill saw, I actually caught him week 10. And, you know, I think we did a little blurb on him after the game and saying, hey, keep an eye on this guy. He's going to be a guy Ohio State looks at. My pet peeve was I saw some people that said, why did we take him instead of some of these great athletes? Because he has a trait, and it is a value trait, and you're seeing it right there. He comes up, and he's a run stopper. He's a sure tackler. Being a sure tackler and being able to diagnose a play and come up and fill, again, like he's doing right there, is as valuable as running a 4.440, okay? I think some of the Ohio State players may have had trouble with tackling maybe towards the end of the year. You're bringing in guys like this that if we can't tackle, we need to have guys like this in our secondary that can come up And there's the coverage ability. It looked like he was going to be beat on a run play there. He was sniffing around the line, and you see him turn and run with the receiver. Is he the fastest guy in the field? No, but that's not going to be his job. He's going to have three or four other really fast guys surrounding him to take up the faster guys. So I hate when people on message boards say, oh, he's not this crazy athlete. What he's doing there in space and coming up and submarining people is priceless. There are maybe less guys doing this than there are guys running 4.44s. Then I'll say this about this trait. If I don't get on a soapbox much and say I'm right about much all the time, but when I see guys like this at any position, linebacker, that are physical and come up and make these type of plays over and over, they show up on college fields a couple years later. I don't care if it's at the MAC. I don't care if it's at D3. This style of play always makes it onto the field, and I would put my reputation on that. So look for him to be better than what everybody is rating him right now. And Bill's right. After missing half the year playing on the worst St. Ignatius team in 20 years, give the kid a break. I mean, he's the receiver here crossing the field against St. Xavier. Okay, like, he's got big-time skills. That's St. Xavier. That's the biggest high school in Cincinnati that he just ran back and forth across the field and made them look like they're not fast. So maybe I shouldn't read the message boards, and maybe I'm a little fired up for this kid. But, yeah, he is a football player. I mean, the thump he just put on that kid. Jeez, oh, man. I mean, you just
– Look, let's see one
kid get an angle, and that's his first play of the film. We're 10 plays deep, and he's still thumping people. I'll let you go, Dan.
Let's deal with the elephant in the room here. This the majority of the issue is because he's a white defensive back, which is an outlier, generally speaking, on guys who play defensive back at Ohio State. Just a fact. That's not me. You can look at the statistics. It doesn't mean that he can't do it. It just means that it looks a little different. The tape, there is a reason we call Mark's feature Buckeye and the Sky, and that's because the eye and the sky does not lie. And you add that in with the faith you should have in the recruiting.
Watch this play again.
That should really mean nothing to you. As goofy as that sounds, trust me, it's silly. And I can tell you, the people that are getting hit by this guy, the first thing they're thinking about is not the color of his skin. I think they're looking for their mouthpiece. So the dude's a heat-seeking missile.
There are middle linebackers that don't feel like this. He's beating the linebackers to the backfield here. I mean, just, yeah.
Here's a great question.
How many kids have we watched on tape that have that particular play? Some of the linebackers, but no one standing back there at safety. So, Dan, I like what you said. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Under,
they're asking us to compare him to Coy Parrish from last year, the Minnesota kid we offered late. Parrish is more of a dynamic athlete.
Yeah, he was more athletic. This trait right here of being a thumper, I don't think Coy Parrish had this repeatedly. I was saying at the end of this last film where a lot of kids have maybe one or two hits where the scenario for all the plays throughout the whole season set up right, they have the right angle, and the guy doesn't see him coming, and they put the hammer down. This kid's putting the hammer down on kids that see him coming, that are looking him in the eyes and seeing the freight train coming through the tunnel. And it's just over and over. I mean, it really, as a tackling film, this is as impressive as a tackling film as a safety I've seen in a while.
Yeah, he's a stud. I don't think that's anything to worry about. I'll tell you who he reminds me of, and I guarantee you I've never said this before. He reminds me of a guy named Cody Grimm. And you guys don't know who this is. You know who Russ Grimm is, because he played center. He played guard for the Redskins. I said it again on purpose. And then he was coaching for the Redskins, coach for the Steelers. His son was like a hybrid safety outside linebacker. And I covered high school football, and he made, to this day, the greatest play I've ever seen a high school player make, just on recognition. It was a sweep to the right, and immediately on the snap, he took off in the other direction. The quarterback turned, threw it right in front of him to the running back, and he had diagnosed the play, and he hit that guy so hard that the game was stopped for a few minutes and stuff. Cody Grimm, I think he had to walk on at Virginia Tech. He played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for, I think, 3 or 4 years, and I was trying to echo that. That's what his high school tape looked like. just a werewolf who maybe didn't look like as good as he played. I digress. All right. Let's finish with this.
I saw the Tackett Curtis reference. I couldn't let that go. Yeah. I thought Bill was going to make it appear on the screen.
Okay. We did Chuck Cecil.
Cecil, yeah.
Do not cross the middle.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to throw out like John Lynch's and, you know, all those type guys, but
Roy Williams.
Yeah, I mean, boy, I mean, it's just so like you can be the best athlete in the world. You come up and miss a few tackles, you know where you're standing next to the guy calling the plays. You're done. Your days are over if you don't have the nuts to put your face in there. And, you know, obviously we have a kid here that's going to do that. Will he be the best safety ever? We'll find out. But this quality will show up on the film somewhere.
And as much as, you know, Ignatius maybe didn't have the best year, Ignatius plays as high a level of football as you're going to play in high school. That's the least of our concerns.
My last comment is Bill extrapolated his interceptions throughout the season. Mm-hmm. Extrapolate these big hits through six more games. And this is four games of big hits. Give him six more games of teeing off on players. So it's like batting practice for him.
Yeah, I don't imagine after game, if he played all those games, that they would continue to test him. But you never know. All right, let's finish with this. Ohio State has a new running backs coach, Carlos Laughlin, via Oregon. I find it very interesting that we talked about maybe getting someone from Alabama. That didn't work out. Just went down to Oregon and got Carlos Laughlin. Has some Southern ties. Coached high school ball in Memphis. He worked on Florida State staff. He was also out west. Bill, I don't know if you know this. There's some schools in California that play football at high school that are good. And there are players there that Ohio State wants. One of them is a running back, ironically, named Jordan Davison. He was being heavily recruited here by Tony Alford, who left for Michigan, but he was also being heavily recruited by Oregon and Carlos Laughlin. So he brings that relationship with him. Your thoughts on the addition of Laughlin as it pertains to Davison and then the overall spot as Laughlin joins the staff?
Well, it is certainly a positive as far as Davison goes, and it's actually for Bo Jackson as well. Carlos Laughlin offered both Davison as well as Bo Jackson when he was at Oregon. They both have a relationship with Carlos Laughlin and a good relationship. And I will go back to what Jordan Davison told me, I don't know, probably a week ago or whatever, and I had this on Bucknuts, is that he was really hoping that Ohio State hired a coach to be the running backs coach that he had a relationship with. So in that regard, he certainly got his wish there because they do have a relationship and a very good relationship. I think as I put on Bucknuts this morning on an article, right now the two guys that would be the, as I put it, leaders in the clubhouse for Ohio State to get with Laughlin coming in would be both Davison and Bo Jackson. Now, and I've had them in the class previously anyway, and I certainly continue to have them in as well. But let me throw this out too, and I'll have more on this later on Bucknuts. Don't forget Jeff Overton. He is a very good running back from Virginia, and I'll just leave it at that right now. Like I said, I'll have more on that later today on Bucknuts, but don't forget Jeff Overton too.
I told you I once covered a state championship game in which we were talking about Oakton earlier. How was I talking about that? Oh, Cody Grimm's Oakton team lost in the state championship, I believe, to Jeff Overton's dad, who was the option quarterback for Hilton High School, 6-0. Can't remember my wife's birthday, but I got that crap locked in there. All right,
yeah, if you don't, if someone out there doesn't know Jeff Overton is, he is a running back from Virginia, and he is a very good one. He is a kid that Ohio State offered a scholarship to early.
Mark, your thoughts on Laughlin?
Give me a second to pull up his video.
Okay, Overton?
I didn't pull up his video or Overton, I'm sorry. Okay. In fact, why don't we save him for the next one I don't know if I have it right here.
Your thoughts on the addition of Laughlin? What do you hear about him on the among your other cronies, et cetera?
Well, the West Coast guys, I really haven't crossed paths with because they don't really do much in Ohio. With some the Big Ten stretching out to the West Coast, I'm starting to look for the USC guys. My big, date with them will be in May when I get out on the road to the high school showcases. I'm sure I'm going to be standing elbow to elbow with these guys, and I'll get a chance to meet them and to get a feel for them. But I really have not crossed his path with scouting Ohio, per se. So I'm hoping I expand my horizons with the Big Ten expanding also. Maybe I'll have a reason to go out on the West Coast and meet some college coaches.
Sure you will. I'll get right on that with the Bucknuts One.
Air Force
we'll get
One.
Gassed up, fly right out there. All right, we appreciate everybody stopping by. 2 minutes and 40 seconds of free content today. We're at the 42-minute mark. If we went too long, we apologize. We'll be back on Tuesday. Excuse me. We're back on Thursday. I doubt we'll have four more commitments, but you never know. Have a good one. Brothers.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.